Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So what is the healthiest piece of furniture? Anybody know? A little bit of an awkward transition there, so I took a breath. The new one? Yes, that's true. The veggie table. Oh. Let me rearrange this. My husband asked if I could clear the kitchen table. I had to get a running start, but I made it. If you've been to our house, you might know that true. That's true. Which nobleman loves sitting at a round table? Circumference. Now, if you had ever heard my dad preach back when he was the pastor, you'd be very proud that I made it through all three jokes without ruining them, because my dad had this horrible habit of saying the punchline at the beginning of every joke, and we kind of forbade him from ever telling jokes. So I'm trying it out to see if I inherited that trait. I don't think I did. Thank God. So I am so excited. We are launching a new series this morning called Building Tables. Everyone say Building Tables. And we are going to be talking about our giftings, our purpose, and community over the next 2 months. It's going to bridge us right into Christmas. How many know that holiday times are a time we gather around tables or wish we were gathering around a table, right? And sometimes it's a happy time. Sometimes it's a trauma time. It depends on our experience of family and holidays. But I want to tell you that if you're here in this place, we'll be gathering around the table a few times. And if you have nowhere else to gather, you have a place here. And it'll be a good, fun place to gather around the tables during the holidays, including that pancake breakfast that we will do on the 20th. So we are going to be talking about tables and table Christianity. And about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I shared that the word for our church this year was building tables. Does anyone remember that? A couple people. I'm glad my words, they go somewhere. But our key verse for this series is from Acts. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46 through 47. This is about the early church. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love this scripture, and we'll probably do a Sunday where we actually really dive into this particular scripture more. But what I love about this is, from the very beginning, the early church would meet in the temple courts together, right? So it'd be a larger gathering, but then they also would meet around their dining room tables and break bread. And I think that's awesome. So from the beginning, church was meant to look more like a table and not just like a big gathering, right? It takes both to build community. And God said he added to their numbers daily. I like what Bill Vanderbush said here a few months back. You can hide in stadiums, but it's really hard to hide at a table. Anyone ever grow up hiding underneath their table? Anyone hide under a table? That's pretty great, right? And then like you grab someone's ankles and it's like anyone have a kid that does that? It's so awful. I have a story, but I will not tell it. But you can hide in a stadium, but it's really hard to hide at a table. So this is really important to think about, though, because some of us, when I say we're going to be building tables and we're going to be doing table Christianity this year, and especially over the next couple months, some of us might get really excited because you've been really hungry for community more. You've been really hungry to figure out what your giftings are more, what your purpose is right now. But some of us might be really freaked out. Because as I just said, you can hide in a stadium, but you can't hide at a table. And so wherever you are in that scale, as we dive into this new theme, I want to just invite you to take the next step, whatever that looks like in your journey and in your life season. All right. So that's my challenge to you. You might be asking, what is it? What is this table? What does it represent? And we'll probably talk about some different ways we can look at tables. But one of the ways I want to describe it is actually from the first time a table is ever mentioned in the Bible. And we're going to do a whole focus on that next Sunday. So don't miss next Sunday. It's Kids Sunday. It's going to be an awesome time with all the kids. But we're also going to look at the very first time a table was ever built in the Bible. It'll be kind of fun. So the definition I get from that, which we'll learn about more why next week, is the table is where God's presence and daily provision is shared. All right. So as we talk about tables, we're talking about building spaces where God's presence and provision is shared. And I'm not like when you hear the word provision, sometimes it's you get it confused with like finances or something. That could be it. But that's not really the heart of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's provision is anything he's giving to us. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. And so a table is where God's presence and provision is shared. If you Google like the definition of a table, outside of it being a flat surface where you eat off of, which is not very profound, right, for our sermon series. A table also is where you can play, where you meet together, where you work. How many have a dining room table that during 2020 became like your office desk? Anybody have that, or is that just me? Yeah? I found my work and health just kind of went downward once I started working at the dining room table. I don't know if anyone else had that. That's because the purpose of that piece of furniture kind of got warped in my mind. But tables represent a lot of different things to us. Jesus had an interesting relationship with tables, and I did share this when I shared about our theme a couple weeks back. But before Jesus turned water into wine to be served at wedding tables, before he had alabaster poured out at his feet while he was reclining at a table, before he ate with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with sinners and Pharisees at a table, before he flipped tables, right? I will not be doing a dramatic interpretation of that this morning. Before he broke bread with his disciples at the table, he was a carpenter, and he most likely built tables, right? And I love this quote I found. The one who skillfully created humans from dust also made tables for people to sit at. Isn't that cool? I love that because that tells me that even though Jesus could have just spoken when he was a carpenter and created things with his words, right? He decided to actually use his hands and build stuff. And I think sometimes when we get saved, we think it's all just about speaking, which it is. Our words are very powerful in Christ, but it's also about what he has given our hands. What giftings has he put in our hands? Because he actually likes to build things with us. And so we're going to be talking about this more. Statistically, only 30% of families eat together. I will not do a show of hands, but I will do a confession to be vulnerable up here. Brian and I got married, I guess it was like a year and a half ago or so, and I noticed our dining room table has either stayed empty or it stayed really cluttered. One of the two, but it's basically stayed empty of our dinner plates for a while because we'll usually, I don't want to go too vulnerable here, but we usually eat really late at night because we're like doing stuff and then we eat right at like 9 o'clock, this is not meant to be a group confessional moment here, but he's not in the room either. But we usually eat pretty late at night and we're like done. Anyone else just done by the time you get to dinner? You're just done. And so sometimes we'll sit on the couch and like watch something or honestly just sit on the couch because it's more comfy. But there's a purpose for the dinner, for the dining room table. And 30% of families eat together at this point. And when I really thought about it, I realized that the same could be said about the church, right? How often do we treat church kind of like a TV meal where we pull up, we sit down, we watch something or we receive something or whatever. Maybe we even have a couple commercial breaks by going to the bathroom or pulling our phone out, which no one is supposed to see. And then we head back to the real world, right? Speaking of phones. and I realized that this is a really big problem because church or your Bible or faith, I'm not trying to glorify just the church, but our relationship with God was never meant to be a place that we show up and then we clock out of. It was meant to be more of a table. It was meant to be more of an active place of relationship, right? Of listening, of dialogue. And so we're going to look at three ways that we're called to build tables today. So number one, everyone say number one. Tables are built through sharing our God stories. So today we're actually going to look at Psalm 23, verse 5. If you want to open up your Bible, we're just going to basically live there. And it's one verse. If you don't have it memorized, I encourage you to memorize the verse. I also encourage you just to memorize Psalm 23. But this is just one part of it. It says, "Well, anyone know what Psalm 23, verse 5 said? There we go. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many have seen the Last Supper painting? Anybody? Yeah, most of us, right? And it's like this. It is beautiful. I'm not sure how realistic it is, but it is beautiful. But I think the problem with the Last Supper painting is that when we read this, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I kind of envision myself with one of those scarfs over my head and sitting, you know, they're like lounging at the table. And, I looked it up and tables back then were like this high. Right? So first off, it is completely historically inaccurate. We won't get into like the diversity that's represented because I don't think there's a lot of diversity in it either. But the tables were like this high. And if you notice when Jesus is talking about tables a lot, or tables are mentioned with Jesus, he's always reclining at a table. And so I guess they would have like cushions. Probably no one can see me, but cushions, and they would just recline and then eat. And most of the tables weren't necessarily even wood. They were actually stone. Which is interesting, which is why some people actually think that carpenter may not be the exact interpretation of that word that's used when it's used to describe what Jesus did. He may have been a stonemason, which would have made sense because there was a lot more stone where he grew up than wood. Just a fun fact. So honestly, you can kind of interpret it either as stone or carpenter. It doesn't really matter because he's building stuff with his hands. So it's all biblical there. But just a fun fact as you're envisioning what a table might look like. But the table in Psalm 23 verse 5 doesn't just mean a table. The root word means sent or to let go. Isn't that kind of cool? So the Lord's table isn't just a place of relationship and sharing, but it's actually a place where we are supposed to share, to let go of things that we're holding on to, and then to be sent out. So he prepares a table, he prepares something in the place where I'm called to let go of what I'm carrying, and I'm called to go out from. Isn't that cool? It's a different way of looking at a table. Have you ever been to someone's house that just always likes to share stories? Anybody? Wow, three people. Who's ever had dinner with my dad? Anybody? If you haven't, I highly encourage you to sign up because then you can answer yes to this question. If you've never had the joy of having dinner with my father, he loves to tell stories. And a couple years back, he used to really tell them at the dinner table, especially before we prayed to eat, which was just a bit of a problem for me because I was always really hungry. But his stories, you know, they range from meeting a porcupine at the end of a fast seeking Jesus to the CIA chasing him in Europe, or how about meeting the Dalai Lama, or living in a little hut in Norway in the Arctic Circle. If you think I'm making it up, you can buy his book because it's about to come out, and I'm not making it up. So I really encourage you, when they get back from Israel, just say, I want to have a meal with you, and then just shut up and just listen to his stories because they're great. But you really feel like you're sitting at a table with somebody when they start to share their life. And even better, if they actually stop talking and they ask you a question about your life. Have you ever been with someone who actually has the wherewithal to realize that you might have something to say and ask a question about you? Have you ever felt that? Doesn't it feel good to actually be heard and not just spoken to? Well, Jesus shared over 30 parables. That's a lot of God stories. And for some reason, I don't know why we think if Jesus shared stories, shouldn't we share stories? Wouldn't that just be a natural response? Everyone says, do what Jesus did. So go heal the sick and do all of that in Jesus' name. But what about share stories? What about share our God stories and build tables, build opportunities for God to move, his presence and his provision to be shared as we're sharing our God stories? Amen? Have you ever thought, I have nothing to bring to the table? Have you ever experienced that? Maybe it's in church. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's with your relatives or your friends. Have you ever thought, man, I just don't have anything to bring to the table? And I want to say to you, during this series, we're going to have some opportunity. We're going to have some resources to help you discover what you have to bring to the table, whatever table that is. So we're going to look at some giftings. We're going to look at what God has placed in your heart. But I wanted to start here because this is where Jesus started with all his parables. If you have a heartbeat, you have a story and you have something to share at the table. Amen. You know, the 12 disciples, the Last Supper painting here, the famous table, they didn't just stay there eating, right? How many know that if you had Jesus in the flesh and you're eating with him, wouldn't you just want to stay there and eat forever? Wouldn't that be like it? You're like, we made it. Jesus is here and we're all eating together. I still think he's Italian, right? But they're all eating and they're all talking. But that wasn't the end of the story. That was the beginning, because just like we're called to come to the table and let go and share and then be sent out, the 12 disciples were all sitting at the Last Supper and they're all sharing. And then what did they do next? They were sent out all over the world to do what? To share their God stories, right? And so if a table is where God's presence and his provision is shared, then Thrive is like a massive table. And I told Brian, I was like, I'm so glad that we changed our name to Thrive when we did, because otherwise I would have named our church The Table, which is possibly slightly less inspiring, so we can all have a moment of praise that we change it to Thrive and not The Table. But I like to think of our church as a giant table. And I invite you to do the same, especially this year. Start thinking, man, I'm going to the table. I'm going to the place where God's presence is active and his provision is shared. Isn't that awesome? I don't know. That gets me excited about coming to church. I'm going to the table. But this is really important, because sometimes we think of a table as being very inward focused, right? I'm feeding myself. I'm getting something and then I'm going back to work, or I'm going to go finish the chores or whatever. But God's table isn't an escapism faith. It's not a place where we just focus on ourselves. It's a place where we are sent out from. So my challenge to you this month is to take 5 to 10 minutes when you're hanging out with somebody and share your God story with them. Some of us have done this a lot. Some of us are more maybe extroverted or just more public about your journey with God. Some of us are more private, and that's okay. So my challenge to you is just to share a piece of it. If you've never shared your whole story and you don't want to, that's okay. Maybe just share a moment that God did something impossible in your life, or just one thing he saved you from. And I want to encourage you to grab coffee or grab a meal, meet around a table with somebody else. And my challenge to you is to do it within our community. And then if you really want to do it with someone outside that maybe doesn't know Jesus yet. And you might bring them to the table, right? And so that's my encouragement to you during this series. And I just a little disclaimer on that. If someone shares their story with you, it's not a time to critique their story. It's not a time to correct something. It's a time to listen and to encourage, because we may not all understand our journeys in Christ, right? So I just want to do a little disclaimer there. Number two, tables are built through receiving what God is giving. How many know you can lead a preschooler to their broccoli, but you cannot make them eat it? I think the real saying is you can lead a horse to the trough, but you can't make him drink it. But I thought the preschooler was way more of an effective metaphor this morning. If you were, who here works with kids? Anyone works with, who here has kids? You're working with kids if you have them, I hope. right? No matter what Jesus served in his ministry, whether it was healing, deliverance, whether it was comfort, whether it was fun, whether it was multiplication, it was always a choice. And today, God's presence and provision at the table is also a choice. Jesus has not stopped giving. The question is, have we stopped receiving? Right? He prepares. Everyone say prepare. This is really, really cool. I've never seen this before. So I love looking up root words in Greek and Hebrew. The word prepare, well, before I say that, let me just say this. It's really important to understand who is writing the book, right, in the Bible, or the chapter. So how many know David was just this really famous chef? He was actually like a, he was kind of like a wedding planner type level of administration and creativity. And has anyone read that in Samuel and King? No? I must have the wrong translation. King David was not a chef. He was not an event planner. He was a warrior and no stranger to battles, victory, and sacrifice. Can we just get our heads on straight here this morning, all right? Not enough people stopped me mid-sentence there before. I'm a little concerned. So when I read this, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I normally think about a catered party where a couple people I may not be fond of show up. I was going to mention something about some of our gatherings that we sometimes have with relatives, right? And hopefully you don't think of this passage when you think of this, right? But King David was not talking about that. And yet that's the first thing that comes to my mind. So I looked up what the word prepare means at its root. It can, so besides meaning to prepare or to set out, right? Because of course it can mean that. It also means to set the battle or to array, which means a strategic arrangement of fighters and weapons ready to fight a battle. So at the place where God's presence and provision is shared, he strategically gives us weapons. Does that change this verse a little bit to anybody? Suddenly it doesn't look like a catered party, which is all great. Hope we have some, right? It doesn't look like a catered party. It looks like a preparation for battle. And suddenly my attendance of this meal means a lot. How many are fighting some battles? Anybody sing the song this morning? There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. What is the chorus? This is how I fight my battles, right? I always thought, why are those two things in the same song? What's the table and that battle? What's going on here? Well, that's our theme song for this series because it says prepare means to a strategic arrangement of fighters and weapons. See, if Jesus started his greatest battle with death at a table, why wouldn't we? Jesus said, do this often in remembrance of me. He was, of course, talking about communion, but I think he was also talking about gathering around tables, gathering together and remembering Jesus. Why? Because he prepares, because he puts out strategic weapons at the table. Are you guys following me this morning? This is a different way of looking at this verse. So it's kind of like a, whoo, what's going on here, right? So stay with me. The prodigal story. Everyone know the prodigal son story. Let me get those words in the right order, right? It tells the well-known story of a prodigal son. He has two sons. A father has two sons. One gets restless and asks for his inheritance early and travels far away, right? He ends up in a famine in a distant country and loses his entire inheritance. He comes back to his dad, ready to be a slave, basically, and his dad meets him on the road with his arms wide open and says, come home, right? And he throws a party for him. See, if the son had just realized what the father had to give, he never would have ended up in a distant country in a famine. Are you following? There are battles we are fighting that we do not need to fight the way we're fighting them because we have run away from God's table and we stopped receiving what God had to give and we went away and we have ended up in a famine. We've ended up in a famine in our relationships or our finances or our parenting or our health or whatever it is, or our emotions or our way we're thinking or our words. We've ended up in a famine because not because God stopped pouring out at his table, but because we stopped receiving. Does this make sense? There are tables of God's presence and provision that sit empty, waiting for us to sit at them together. There's a whole parable about it in the New Testament if you want to read that. It's a biblical thing I'm saying. When we get restless and we run away from what God wants to give us, we end up in famines, and then we fight battles that we were never meant to fight alone. I want to give us a couple of examples. Some of us are trying to fight battles in our lives without sitting at the Lord's table. We're trying to have strength without receiving his joy. We're trying to not be offended without receiving his new mercy. We're trying to have peace without receiving his peace beyond understanding. We're trying to have enough time without prioritizing Jesus. We're trying to get rid of stress without seeking God. Does this make sense? He is serving things at his table. The question is, are we receiving them? Because God's mercy in my life doesn't just become some gourmet dish, like if David was a catered event planner. It becomes a weapon that is prepared for me at the table. Does that make sense? God's joy in my life becomes a weapon of strength. God's peace becomes a weapon in the face of anxiety. God's priorities become a weapon to pressure. God's presence and forgiveness becomes a weapon for my marriage. This is so important because God is still preparing and giving us weapons of warfare, but it's not against flesh and blood, but it's at his table. Amen? So if you feel like you are fighting battles that you don't know how to win, or if you feel like you're in a famine, if you feel like you're in a place of lack, I want to invite you to come home to the table just like the prodigal son. We often think of the prodigal son as some salvation message, which it is, but it's also about anybody who has stopped receiving what God had to give in that situation. Amen? So I'm going to end here with our third point. We build tables of connection when we stay focused on Jesus. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my, right? So it sounds great. We're like, wow, a table is a place of provision in God's presence and sharing stories. And then he's preparing a table, which actually means like all these weapons of warfare. So that means we can pick up mercy and we can pick up peace and we can pick up prayer and we can use them as weapons. And then the fun part is we're actually doing this all in the presence of enemies. Yay, right? Who wants to be invited to that party? Anybody? Like, sign me up. Oh my goodness, right? I'll never forget one time I had a struggle with somebody. This was a long time ago. I don't want it to anyone to think it's anyone here. And this was a while ago. And God said, hey, if you don't realize, their mansion in heaven could be next door to yours. So you might want to deal with this problem now. I was like, yes, sir. It's a good point. Better get on that, right? Some good perspective. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies means to bind, to tie up, to be restricted, cramped. Anyone feel cramped or restricted by life? Oftentimes, enemies, I always think of them in like these knights with swords, right? Or whatever. I don't know if that's what you think. Maybe you think of some more like video gamey enemy or whatever. But really, an enemy is anything that restricts you or tries to restrict you. So it could be job pressure, it could be bitterness, it could be stress, it could be conflict, it could be life is throwing everything at me all at once and I feel restricted. Are you following me this morning? The enemy is anything that would rise up against your identity in Christ, right? It says in 1 Corinthians to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So I wanna end by speaking to two people this morning. Some of us here today think, and maybe this is a subconscious thought, but you think trusting God means ignoring what's happening around you. And let me clarify. It's like the preschooler who closes their eyes and then thinks that you're not there anymore. Have you ever played hide and go seek with a preschooler? They're like, go hide. And they're like, that's not how that works, right? I hate to break it to you. But some of us get surrounded by stuff. And there's so much that's trying to restrict us, and it's like the enemies, right? And we just close our eyes. And, you know, that might not look like closing your eyes. That might look like if I just numb the pain out, it's not there anymore. It might look like if I just ignore that person for the rest of my life, maybe I'm not really offended by them, and I'm not holding on to unforgiveness. Anybody following? It's a little bit of an uncomfortable way to end my message here this morning, but it's really important because some of us try to ignore our enemies, but the truth is God arranges his spiritual weapons and gives you what you need in the presence of your enemies, not in the ignoring of your enemies. I looked up that word presence because I was like, man, if prepare can mean to set out weapons, what does presence mean? Guess what it means? Presence. There it, Jesus is like, nope, you're not getting around that one. It's still in the presence of your enemies. Sorry. And some of us try to hide from the enemy, right? Then the other part of us are the people that get so easily distracted by what the enemy is doing that we completely miss that God is actually having a table and giving us something in the midst of our enemies, right? Have you ever just gotten so distracted by the enemies, by pressure, by stress, by whatever it is, that you completely miss what God is doing? And I want to end with this testimony. I was talking to one of my mentors. He's a pastor in California, and Brian and I were sharing a struggle that we were dealing with, and he said, ah, you're in that test with God right now. Okay. He said, well, you know, now you're aware of it. Now you can seek God in that area. And I thought, great. Now we're like, thank you for putting a name to what we're going through. Now we get to, right? I try not to say have to. Now we get to seek God in this area. And I realized, wait a minute, if I'm going to go through heck, I might as well get the feast while I'm going through it, right? If I'm on an airplane, I'm going to serve what they're serving me. I'm not just going to starve for 12 hours. Some of us need to realize you're going through something, and God is serving you while you're going through it. And we can miss the very thing God wants to give us. So why don't you stand on your feet? God preparing a table for you, God's provision for you in the moment, whether that is comfort, whether that is whatever God is giving you as provision is not conditional to what the enemy is doing. Okay, just say that one more time. God preparing a table for you is not conditional to what the enemy is doing. What is meant to restrict you and bind you up is actually where God has chosen to serve a feast for you and release his weapons of warfare. And this is such a strong, powerful statement that you could actually say, if something is trying to restrict me, it's a sign that God is also giving me something. So it's like, man, my week is getting so, there's so much pressure, there's so much this. And instead of getting so weighed down, I say, wait a minute, pause. If this is happening around me, that means there is a table before me. Because I'm feeling my enemies, so where's the table? Where is God's presence? Where is his provision in the midst of my enemies? Because this is actually a sign that God's giving me something right here, right now, to sustain me for here and for the future. This is a powerful word because it means we are not victim to what restricts us and what puts us in pressured situations. In fact, we are more than conquerors in Christ. In fact, that's a sign that God wants to give you something right here in this moment. Are you following? This is so important because if we miss this, then when we're financially tight, we crumble, and I've been there. Instead of saying, God, if I'm tight here, what are you giving me? You may not be giving me something right here, but maybe you're giving me something here and you're asking me to change my perspective, or you're asking me to up my obedience, or whatever it is, you're meeting me in this place. Or if I'm having a relational struggle here and I can't figure out what to do and I feel so much pressure, God, what are you giving me in this moment? Because what God is giving you is not conditional to the enemy, and it is not conditional to your performance. It is conditional to the cross, and the cross is unconditional. Amen. And this is such an important word because right now, has anyone heard of like the scares of like, there's going to be a shortage here, and then there's going to be a shortage here, and there's going to be a shortage. Anyone hearing the shortages? I'm like, what is going on? I see when I'm like, Brian, are we going to have food next week? He's like, you're going to be fine. Stop looking at the earth. I'm like, okay, thank God. But there are shortages, right? We've experienced some. And the problem is this: when the church gets so consumed by the physical shortages, whether they happen or not, if we're looking more at the news of shortages, and I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. That's not what I'm saying. But if we get so consumed by that, we start to see God that way. Because if we see our government that way, we see the King of Kings that way. And then we start to think, man, if there's a shortage here, maybe there's a shortage here. Maybe there's a shortage on what he can do for me, on his kind thoughts towards me, on his love that he's giving me, on his forgiveness. And it's almost a subconscious thing. But today, as we launch our building tables, I wanted to start off by declaring that we as a church believe that God is unconditional in what he is giving each one of us. And if salvation didn't prove that, I don't know what can, right? He is pouring himself out for us to receive. The question is, are we receiving? Amen? And there is blessing through obedience. There's all of that. I'm not saying there isn't, but there is a freedom and there is a generosity in God that he is serving at his table and he's inviting us to it. So Jesus, right now, I just bless us. I bless us with the courage to share our stories. Whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, I bless us with the courage to share our stories. I bless us to turn our eyes on you, Jesus, and to stay focused on you. And every time we see an enemy at work in our life, I bless us with the ability to change our focus from the enemy to what God is giving us in the moment, what God is teaching us. I bless us to go out from this place sent on a mission, just like God prepares a table before us that we can be sent out from. And I bless us with the unconditional love of God that is not based on our performance or the enemy's performance, but on the perfection of the cross. And Jesus, we just repent right now for ever thinking that you are not enough for us, or you don't have enough for us in our situation. God, we turn our eyes to Jesus, and the world grows strangely dim in your presence, God. So show us what you're serving at your table this week, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our daily lives, in our relationships. Show us what you're serving so that we can receive and then be sent out and give to others. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Well, be blessed. Be a witness this week. And I encourage you to share your God story. Even if it's one sentence of what he's done for you, pick somebody, get the courage, and do it. All right?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.